Well, hello again. I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to share our story with you. It's really great to be here. We've really enjoyed our day. As we mentioned in our interview, our family is planning to go and work as missionaries in Cambodia, God willing. And there have been many significant moments on our journey from being non-Christians starting university 25 years ago to standing here today as missionaries to be. And one of those significant moments was at a Bible study group that we used to attend many years ago. And one particular night in that Bible study group, we were visited by a missionary to Japan who was on home assignment. And during that night, the missionary shared with us a Bible study on Psalm 67. And so I'd like this evening to share this psalm with you. Because for me, it was a significant moment. It really opened my eyes to what God is doing in the world and how we can be a part of that. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to read Psalm 67, and then I'll pray, and then we can get stuck into it and see what God is saying to us through this part of His Word. Psalm 67, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray and ask that God will be at work in his word by the Spirit tonight. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words in the Psalms. We pray now as we look at these words that you would indeed speak to us through them. That your Holy Spirit might be at work in our hearts and our minds to open us to what you are doing in this world and how we can be a part of it. We pray that we might be obedient to all that you say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Psalms are Israel's songbook. They're a collection of all types of songs. There are songs of lament and woe. We might call them country music. There are love songs. There are national anthems. There's even what we might call a power ballad in there. Well, what type of psalm is Psalm 67? Well, if you look at the first line of Psalm 67, we see that this song is a prayer. It's a prayer asking God to bless the nation of Israel. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. What is the blessing that the psalmist is asking for? I'm sure we'd all like for God to be gracious to us and bless us, wouldn't we not? I'm sure we'd like for God to give us all our heart's desires. Now, if that was you asking, what would you ask for? What would you ask God for? A new job? A new car? A new house? What would it be? You might feel a little bit nervous about asking God to bless you with those kinds of things. It sounds a little bit self-centered, doesn't it? Well, the psalmist, he has no qualms at all about asking for God's blessing on the nation of Israel. And that's because in the background of this psalm is a very important promise that God made hundreds of years earlier to their forefather Abraham. In Genesis 12, God promises to Abraham with many descendants and a land, and through God, he promises to bless all the families of the earth through him. Now, if you've got your Bibles, it's really worth turning up Genesis chapter 12. If you're an underliner of Bible passages and you know, a highlighter or something like that, this is one to highlight, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It's so important to know this one. You read the promises that God makes to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Great promises. And if you keep reading in the story of Genesis, you'll see that God keeps those promises that he makes to Abraham. He gives Abraham's many descendants. They become the nation of Israel. And God gives them the land he promises, the land of Canaan, which they enter and possess. And so the psalmist in Psalm 67 can be confident that God would bless Israel because, in a sense, he's already done it. He's already done it. He's already made them into a great nation and given them the land of Canaan. So what more could God bless them with? What's left? In my conversations with ministers around Sydney to raise support for our mission work, I've been talking to a number of ministers, and one minister I had a chat to not too far from here in the Sutherland Shire. I asked him in the course of the conversation, how's it going? How's the ministry going down there? And he said, it's hard work. I said, why is it such hard work? He said, because the people in the Shire, they've got everything they want. They think they don't need God. But there's more to it than just the physical blessings, aren't there? So much more. On the way to taking possession of the land, the priests of Israel were instructed to bless Israel. It's a very important blessing. Come with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, towards the end of the chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's a great blessing. And notice this blessing makes no mention whatsoever of the land. There's no mention of the condos that they're going to have with water views of the Dead Sea. There's no mention of how many camels they're going to have in the garage. None of that kind of physical blessing. It's all about having God's face shining upon them. In fact, it says it twice. The word countenance is not a word that we use very often. It's the same word for face. Twice, it's a blessing to have God's face shine upon you. So the obvious question is, what does it mean to have God's face shining upon you? Because this passage in Numbers 6 is what the psalmist picks up in Psalm 67, this idea of having God's face shine upon you. So what does it mean? What do you think it means to have God's face shining upon you? In Exodus 33, it says that Moses used to talk to God face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. In fact, if you know the story of Moses talking to God, when he went to talk with God, he used to come out down to the Israelites with his face shining, glowing, with the glory of God. He literally reflected God's glory. So if that's what it means to have God's face shine upon you, it's to enjoy a personal relationship with God, to enjoy a glorious relationship with your Maker. That is the ultimate blessing, is it not? To know the God who made you and gave you everything. I've been living in the suburb of Earlwood for the last 3 years. Earlwood is basically Greek wood, Greeksville. My next door neighbour, Con, he's Greek. And he's an elderly gentleman. I've been trying, I must say, for the last 3 years to make friends with Con. I've done all that I can, but Con, he doesn't want to be my friend. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I'm not Greek. I don't know. But I go out there when he's out in the front yard sweeping his Greek grass, which is concrete, And I say, "G'day, Con, how are you going?" And he ignores me. In fact, he does this. He turns his face away. "Oh, g'day, Con, how are you going?" Nice and loud so he can hear me. He turns his face away. You see, Con doesn't want to be my friend. And he shows that by turning his face away, by not looking at me in the eyes. To have God turn his face away from you, well, that's the worst thing imaginable. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, to be shut out of God's presence, literally his face, to have God's face turn away from you is to go to hell. The end of life itself. That is not the case for Israel, though. God has turned his face towards Israel. He started a relationship with Abraham and now with his descendants, and he gives them the land and lots of kids, and he does it so that they could enjoy all of those great things and a relationship with God too. Now it begs the question, why was God so intent on blessing Israel like this? Why them? What did they do to deserve this blessing? Nothing. They did nothing. God didn't bless them because of something they did, because they were somehow cleverer than any other nation, because they happened to be in the right place at the right time. No, Moses says in Deuteronomy 7, it was not because they were a great nation, it was simply because he loved them. And he was keeping his promise that he made to Abraham, their forefather, to bless them. And if you remember back in Genesis 12, those promises he made to Abraham were more than just about giving them a land and lots of kids. It was also that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him. So it wasn't just about Israel. It was about the whole world. And this is what Psalm 67 is about. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. I want you to notice particularly verse 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You see, the psalmist is asking God to bless Israel so that through this blessing of Israel, all the nations would know God. That through the act of God saving Israel from Egypt, all the nations would know that God is a God who saves. The nations were to look at Israel and all the blessings that God had showered upon them, like the land and the law, and think, wow, what a great nation and what a great God. In fact, Moses tells them exactly this in Deuteronomy 4, perhaps without the wow, but the same idea. The nations would look at you and go, this is a great nation. What a wise people they are and what a great God. To put it another way, Israel were to be the role model, the national role model to the world. Just like our famous sports people, our musicians, our movie stars today who are blessed with great talent and good looks and all those things, they're kind of role models to the rest of the world, aren't they? I mean, perhaps you don't have role models now that you're older, but think about the role model, someone you looked up to when you were younger. Very important. Israel's example, though, was not so that the nations would just stand off at a distance and go, wow, that nation's really cool. They're good. No, it was so that the nations would praise God and even join Israel and be part of the people of God. And you see that in the history of Israel, don't you? The story of Jericho, Rahab the prostitute. She is there. She helps the spies. Why? Because she's heard about what God has done in Egypt and she wants a part of it. And so she helps them out and she is saved when Jericho is destroyed. And you can imagine how much rejoicing there would have been in the house of Rahab the day that they were saved, just like Israel rejoiced when God saved them from slavery in Egypt. And this is what we see at the heart of this psalm, is the call for all nations to praise God, that they would be glad and sing for joy because of God's justice and guidance. Look at verses 3 to 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. What a great picture this is. This is what God is doing in the world. But Israel failed, didn't they? They took the land. They took the condos and the camels in the garage. They said, thank you very much, but they forgot to stay friends with God. They forgot to obey his laws. They were a failed role model. Now, I'm sure we can think of lots of failed role models too, can't we? I used to play golf when I was younger. Maybe I'll get back into it when I retire. It seems to be the thing you do when you retire, you play golf. And I remember this guy, Tiger Woods. You know anything about Tiger Woods? Seen this guy play golf when he first started? He was a freak. He was amazing. What talent. What he could do with a little white ball, a stick and a hole. It's incredible. But what a fall from grace when he's discovered to have been sleeping around with who knows how many women apart from his wife. What a terrible role model for people who were looking up to him. Israel failed as God's role model to the nations. They failed terribly. And so instead of praising God because of Israel, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 52 says that nations actually despised God because of Israel. They brought God's name into disrepute. So what does God do? He sends them off into exile. He says, off you go. You can go to the nations that you were supposed to be a role model to. That raises the question, was God's answer to this prayer in Psalm 67 a no? Does that mean that it's a no? God's not going to go through with blessing the nations because Israel have failed in their job. Have a look at verses 6 and 7, the last two verses of the psalm. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. God has promised it, and it will happen. Just like he promised to bless Israel with a land and lots of people, God is going to bring all nations to praise him. And we sitting here tonight are a testimony to that very promise. Are we not? We are not. Anybody from Israel here? Any Jews here? No. Okay. We're all Gentiles. We're all from the nations. Any people from Africa here? Any Africans? Yes, okay. Any people from Asia? You're not African. Are you African? South African. Okay, excellent. What about Asia? People from Asia? Originally from Asia? Yes. Europe? Any European people from European descent? No? Kind of European, yes. See, we're an example, a living example that God has actually fulfilled or kept his promise to bring the nations to praise him. We are here together to praise and to sing God's praises. It's a wonderful thing. The earth has yielded to its increase. God has poured out his blessing on his people. We're here, though, not because of Israel. We're here because of the true Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read Matthew's Gospel, I encourage you to go and read Matthew's Gospel. Have you ever noticed that Jesus retraces the steps of Israel? He's taken, because of Herod's attempt to kill him, to Egypt. And then when Herod dies, Jesus is called out of Egypt. When he's called out of Egypt, he grows up, he's baptized, he passes through the water, so to speak, just like the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. And then what happens after he's baptized? He heads into the wilderness for a period of 40, not 40 years, but 40 days, just like Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. What's the difference between Jesus and Israel? Jesus stood firm. Jesus resisted temptation. Jesus was obedient, even to the point of death on the cross and for our salvation. Jesus is the true role model. Paul says in the face of Jesus Christ, we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. When we look in the face of Jesus, we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In other words, it's through Jesus that we have this blessing of a relationship with God. It's only through Christ. I have a question to ask you. It's the most important question that you'll ever be asked. Not because I'm asking it. Are you friends with Jesus? Is his face shining upon you? Have you looked into the face of the knowledge of the glory of God and accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If you have, then you are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing, Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Every spiritual, not some, or a few, or maybe some, every spiritual blessing, if you are a Christian, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's more, if you're an Australian Christian, and I'm taking the fact that you're here in Australia, that you're an Australian, if you're an Australian Christian, you're blessed materially as well. What are some of the blessings that we have? I just want to make sure that everyone's awake here. Shout out, what are some of the blessings that we have? Anything. Clean water, thank you very much. Electricity, yes. A house to live in, thank you. This side's doing so well. Come on. You're not blessed at all. Okay. This side over here, you're going. Heaters, thank you very much. Education, yes, thank you. We could just go on all night, couldn't we? So many blessings. I mean, I made a list and I stopped because I had to do other things and it was running out of time. Free medical services, independent corruption commissions, good Bible teaching in every suburb of every Sunday of every year here in Sydney with lots of Bible resources, men's convention, women's convention, kids' convention, I don't know, Bible conventions galore. The list goes on and on and on, and it wasn't until I went to Cambodia for 2 months on a short-term mission 2 years ago that I really understood how blessed we really are in this country. Did you know the average Cambodian gets paid almost half in 1 year what the average Australian gets paid in 1 week? The average Cambodian gets paid almost half in 1 year what the average Australian gets paid in a week. In Cambodia, there is corruption like you wouldn't believe. It's in the education system. It's in the health system. It's in the political system. The police force, the fire brigade, the ambulance, the doctors, everybody is corrupt. That's how they survive. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of people die as well. We met a family with 3 brothers. In fact, there used to be 4 brothers in the family, but the youngest one, at the age of 1, was sick with meningitis. So they called the doctors in. The doctor said, okay, this is how much it's going to cost. Sorry, we don't have that money. So the doctor left and their youngest brother died. That is a very common experience in Cambodia. Imagine if that happened in Australia. Wouldn't the media go berserk? Wouldn't we all go berserk? 14 million Cambodians don't know the name of Jesus. That's 97% of the population. And the church in Cambodia does not have the resources to reach those 14 million people. We are so very blessed in this country. God has not blessed us, though, so that we might enjoy life here. And it's an enjoyable life here, isn't it? God has blessed us so that we might make his saving power known among all the nations. That is what Psalm 67 is about. That is why Israel blessed God blessed Israel. That is why God has blessed us. Jesus says to all his friends, go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19. Are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Then that command is for you. You are being commanded to share the good news of Jesus with everybody and anybody you meet. Are you obeying this command? That's the second most important question. Are you a friend of Jesus? Yes. If you're a friend of Jesus, are you doing what Jesus says? And what Jesus says is go and share the love and the blessing that you have come to know with your friends who don't know it. We've been so very blessed as Australian Christians. What are you going to do with the blessing that God has showered upon you? How are you going to make God's saving works known among your friends? It doesn't have to be a well-crafted, long sermon up the front of church. It can be that quiet conversation over lunch, can't it? Hey, have you ever heard about this person named Jesus? If you don't know how to share your faith, how to share the gospel, talk to Dean. Talk to one of your pastors. Talk to your youth group leader. How do I share my faith? Because that's the most important blessing of all, is not to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that? So important. Jesus says in Luke 12, at the end of Luke 12, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. You have been given much. If you're an Australian Christian, you have been given so much. God is going to ask you, what have you done with what I've given you? When Cambodian Christians say goodbye, they say very quietly and with a very big smile and with a hint of irony, Chom Rip Lia, Song Pre On Pro Tin Po, which means goodbye and may God bless you. Let's pray. Our dear loving and heavenly Father, we thank you for the great blessings you have showered upon all of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We thank you for the many material blessings that you have also showered upon us as citizens of this great, peaceful and prosperous nation. Father, we ask in the words of the psalm, you might continue to be gracious and bless us, and your face might shine upon us so that we might make your way known on the earth. Give us courage. Give us the desire, the ability, the boldness to share this great blessing of a relationship with you that we have with our friends who do not know you. Father, we ask this so that we may bring glory to you as the one who saves. And we ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus, who died for us so that we might have the blessing of knowing you and living in eternity with you and with all people of all nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.